Just pray that as Phil comes and ministers, that we will catch what you are wanting to say to us. Lord, I just pray that you would give him a real flow of your Holy Spirit anointing as he speaks. Thank you, Lord. Just in case you don't know, Phil's one of the core team here and also leads the youth.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I really sense this morning, you know, God's spirit is here. Am I standing too close to these? Can you knock these down so it's not? Ah, okay. I really sense that God is, kind of drawing us. As Tim was saying this morning, you know, there's like an invitation. I sense that in the room. And it's interesting because to the build-up of me having to speak this week, you know, I've just really been coming before God and just asking him, oh, Lord, what do you want to say to us as a church now? You know, what is it that's on your agenda? What is it that's on your heart? What is it that you want us to catch hold of? And I've been given the topic to talk on prayer today, which is from a series we've been doing, the book of James. If you're a visitor here today, we've been going through a book in the Bible called James, which is 5 chapters long, and it's a lot of it is about wisdom, is about, you know, life application of how to walk in the Christian way, and this last message of the series today on prayer, instead of me going through James chapter 5, verse 13, which is, are you in need? Pray. Are you happy? Talk to God and sing praise. The Bible also says, then following on in the verses, is that if you're sick, then just pray about it. And then it comes to the end of the verse in James chapter 5, and it says, don't forget this, is that your prayers count with God, that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And instead of teaching from that today, do you know, I just want to share with us as a church and talk from my heart to you what I believe prophetically that God is saying to us and what he wants us to catch a hold of. I preached probably about, I think, 6 or 7 months ago on that scripture that's on the wall. Says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, then I will forgive their sin, and then I will heal their land. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 in the Old Testament. And it's a prayer that's really popular in churches because throughout the years, people have often used that scripture when they're like, hey, we need revival in the church. We want church to be alive. We want a prayer time. Let's use that scripture as, you know, as God's way of motivating us. But I believe that scripture, because it's written on the walls of this building, of this church, to be a foundational scripture for us now, has been, and for where God is taking us. I believe God wants to take us to a new level in him. I believe God wants us to experience him as a people, as a church, like we've never done before. But in order for that to happen, as Tim was saying this morning, that God is inviting us to get to know him, to really know him. You know, you can know someone on a surface. You can read about someone. You can read their biography and think, oh, I know this person. But there's a place of intimacy in a relationship where you don't even have to talk. You just know. You've developed an intimacy, a connection. And I sense that God is wanting to speak prophetically to the churches in Wales in this season, that he's wanting us to make a connection with him, to go up higher, to come to a place, a level higher in him. Now, when I preached about 6-7 months ago, I remember I said from the front I was going to do a four-part series on that scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, because as you read it, it basically says, you know, if you're ever in need of God to move in your life and in your land, then it's a four-step process. It starts with humility. It starts with humility, and then it goes into prayer. And then that prayer goes into seeking God. And then that prayer goes into a revelation of, oh, man, I need to get rid of a lot of junk in my life because I want God just to take control of my life. And then it goes to a place where God starts to work powerfully through a people and starts to heal the church, heal the land. I was going to talk on prayer, but then I had an operation. I had to have my appendix out. And I remember saying to Mike, oh, Mike, I can't go to the preach on prayer. So we didn't do it. And while I was praying, recovering from my operation, I remember saying to God, you know, what's your heart? What are you saying? And I felt the Lord say strongly to me that he wanted us to park on humility. He's doing a work of humility across not just us as a church, but across churches, you know, in Wales that are open to God. And he wants to bring us to an understanding of if anything's to happen, if any work of significant kind is going to happen in a church, it's got to be something that the Spirit of God is doing. And I shared with you, if you were here, that I had a vision when I first came to Coastlands years ago of this entire room with about 100-odd people. I don't know why the figure 100 came to my head, but I saw people in this room on their knees, and they weren't just like on their knees, but there was an emotion attached to what they were desperate, they were hungry, they were moved with compassion, they were connected to God, and that vision was one of the most clearest visions I've had since I've been in this church. God's given me two visions, and I'll share the other one in a moment. But just thinking about that, I believe that God wants to fulfill that vision for us as a church. I believe he wants to see us as a people who are really desperate and hungry for God. And catch something of his heart in that, where, you know, when you draw close to God, when you seek him, when you really connect with God, something amazing happens. And it's happened in my life when I've really had a season of prayer, and that's God softens your heart. You know, you can pray, and you can have a time of prayer, but there's something that can happen when God moves on a heart and he softens it and he moves you to compassion. I can think of a time in my life where I was praying for a family member who was very angry, told me not to talk about God, didn't want to hear, hated Christianity, religion, and I felt angry towards him in the initial stage, but I felt like God moved me to pray for him. And I prayed and didn't feel anything for a while until one day I cried my eyes out for this person because God had moved my heart. And God wants to move our heart. You know, as a church, we have a central heartbeat. And that central heartbeat has to be to love God, to know him, and to make him known to the lost of this world. But God wants to work on us as a church to give us his heart, to soften our heart so that our hearts beat as one for lost people. There are so many lost people in Barry right now who have no hope, only see darkness, only see despair, only feel pain, don't see any answers to anything. And yet, as a church, God has given us the answer. And the answer is the message that Jesus came to die for. And that is the hope of this world. And that is the message that God has come to set captive people free. He's come to open blind eyes, physical and spiritual. He's come to soften hard hearts. And a church needs to be operating in that flow in their town, in their community, to see the world change. And that's what God wants to say to us this morning. And I want to go a little bit deeper into it. I spoke in the first session on that scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and that was about humility. And I believe that God wants to, as in the turn of the new year in January, I was praying, I believe God wants to move us on from humility. I think humility stays there. God never does away with humility. I think he's been doing a work in us as a church over this last year, and he's been bringing us more focused on him and more realizing that we need him. And I think God wants to move us now to pray. Now, when I say pray, I'm guessing here there is a few people in this room say, oh, Phil, we've heard this before. We've done prayer meetings before. We've done revival prayer meetings. We've done this prayer meeting. Well, it's like New Year's resolutions. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions at the start of the year, but have already just stopped? Yeah, I'm sure there's a few of us. You know, I think sometimes we treat prayer meetings and going after God and praying for a move to set us on fire as a church very much like New Year's resolutions. We think, right, I'm going to do this. Let's get together. Let's pray. Let's do it. And then because God hasn't broke out in revival after the first two or three sessions, we're like, oh, where's God? It didn't quite work. And it's like exercise. You're like, right, I'm gonna get fit in 2020. I'm going to start running. I'm going to start dieting. And because the results that we hoped for didn't happen within the space of 2 and 3 weeks, we're like, oh, well, that's pointless. That didn't work. And I think sometimes churches can treat prayer meetings like that. I think they can. I know I've done it. Whereas God all hasn't moved because we were passionate in the first phase of our crying out to God and nothing happened. And we're like, oh, well, what's the point in it all? But when I talk about prayer, understand this morning, is that I'm talking about a heartfelt cry from a church. I'm talking about the vision that I mentioned 6 or 7 months ago that I had very clearly of a bunch of farmers on an open field, and they were throwing seed on hard ground, and they were amazed as to why there was no crops coming through. And in this vision I had, they were in despair, and they were asking why, and they started to pray, and they started to fall on their knees, and they started to look at the ground, and they're like, why is nothing growing? But in this vision, after a while, they started to cry. They moved from praying and asking and being angry to crying. And these farmers, as they were crying on this dry ground where all the seed had gone, crops started to grow through the ground. And as I was meditating, thinking on this, I was thinking, what does this mean, Lord, for us? Is this a word for Coastlands? Is this a word for Wales? Is this a word for the church? Is this a word for me? There's a scripture that the Lord took me to, and it's in Psalm 126, verse 5. And it says this. Psalm 126, verse 5. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Very interesting. I remember, this when the Lord gave me this, I was thinking, gosh, God, you're looking for a people who are desperate, who are hungry for more of you, who want to seek you. You know, the Bible says you will find God. You will find him when you seek him with all of your heart. Not with part of your heart, not with quarter. The heart is the most important organ in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. If our hearts go hard, if your heart has become hard through religion, through anger, through bitterness, through just distancing yourself from God. And I think we've all been in places in our life where our heart has gone hard. I know I have. I know I've gone through seasons in my life where my heart just hasn't felt it. I just haven't felt the ability to cry for the state of this land and for the lost. And I think that's a real eye-opener. Because let me ask us this morning, not without making anyone feel bad, because we're all in this boat together, but how is our heart today? How is our heart for the things of God? Is our heart connected to God? Do we feel God's heart beat for the lost? Do you believe that Jesus weeps for the lost? Do you believe that he loves lost people today? Do you believe that in all the hurt and the pain that's going on in our communities and we see on the news in the world, that Jesus has a hard heart towards that? That's not the Jesus I know. The Jesus I know has the most deepest compassion that we could ever understand. He loves. The Bible says that the love of God is so high is so wide, is so deep, that it surpasses knowledge. We've never known or understood such an immense love. And that love is demonstrated on the cross when we hear every Easter and we talk about what Jesus did. Love took Jesus to the cross. Love took Jesus to sacrifice his entire life for his enemies, for the ones that were nailing him to that cross. Jesus was moved with love. And I want to stand up here today in front of this church and be real and bear my heart and wear my heart on a sleeve and say, you know, I want the love of Jesus to soften me, to make me so compassionate for lost people that it consumes my life. And I wanted to talk today about a call to us as a church. I want to talk to you about, will you join us? Because as a leadership team, we want this church to be a church that's on fire. We can say that term so easily, like, oh, I want to be a church on fire. Well, fire consumes everything that's rubbish and everything that's not needed, and it leaves what's pure. And when we ask for the fire of God, we're asking, God, take us deeper. Take us to a level where our heart beats with yours. We do something, as you've seen on the notices, called face-to-face, and we do it once every fortnight, which is Sunday. And for the next month or so, wherever we feel the Lord lead us to, I guess, is that we want to have a time of prayer, and we want to go deeper with him. And this is a call. This is a, why should I leave my nice warm home and not watch my favorite TV program on a Sunday night? I get that. Well, let me tell you why. I want to answer that question by talking about a man called Nehemiah in the Bible. This is in the Old Testament. There was a man. And I'm linking this to why I'm asking you to come to face, if you can, if you're available, if you want to join with us to really seek God and pray for a season and ask him, you know, to soften our hearts, for us to know him, to connect with him, to connect with the lost. I want to tell you about a man called Nehemiah. And I don't think he was necessarily like a super spiritual bloke. He was just a man who caught God's heart. And it was in a time in Israel, in the history of Israel, where the nation of Israel had kind of gone away from their roots. They used to be a God-fearing, God-obeying nation, but all of a sudden they let their hearts become hard. And they went away from God, and God kept warning them, come back to me, you know. If you don't, you know, the foreign armies of this land, they're going to attack you. I want to protect you, but come back to me. But it ended up that the foreign armies took over, and they sent this nation into exile. And they smashed down their walls of Jerusalem. They burnt down the gate. They destroyed the temples and things like that. And this man who was in another country, when he heard about this, Nehemiah, he said, how is my nation doing? And when he was told that it's in ruins, when he was told that the gate was burnt down, when the people were sent into exile, the Bible says in the book of Nehemiah chapter 1, please read it if you have time. It's a bit lengthy to read the chapter, but it just talks about his heart. The Bible says he started to weep. He started to fast. He gave up his food. He was desperate to hear from God. He said, God, I am moved. I am moved with compassion for what I see has happened to the land. And he cried. And the Bible says, for days he sought God. And that story is so important for us to pay attention to, because it's an example of what God can do for us as a church in Wales and the coastlands. Because in that moment, God heard him. God softened his heart. God moved his heart. And the Bible says is that he found favor with God, and God blessed him. And God sent him back to restore that land. That was a bit of a journey, and he had a lot of trials along the way, as we will. You know, we're realistic about when God wants to restore things and do things. We have opposition. We have setbacks. But this man had caught the heart of God, and God was with him. And God wants us to catch his heart. Because God wants to be with us in everything we do. He wants to bless us with the success and the power of his spirit, but we have to have our hearts softened as Nehemiah's. And so, what am I saying here? I'm saying that here's a man who looked around at his land and thought, the walls are burnt down, the gates are destroyed. And do we look at our community and think the walls of family are burnt down? Kids now at the age of 12, 13, I saw, you know, doing drug deals on this estate the other day, being passed drugs, because if they get caught, they're not going to get such a, you know, a criminal record as somebody who's 18. You know, they'll get a slap wrist and so on. Young kids now, young kids are dealing drugs and they're taking drugs and they're getting into knife crime and they're getting into all kinds of stuff. And we can ignore that. We can be afraid of it. Or we can say, God, what are you doing? Where are we? Because God has called the church to be a light in a dark time. God, Jesus said that the church is like a city on a hill. It can't be hidden. It can't be hidden. You look and there it is. And I'm calling us. I don't believe we're there. I believe some of us may be, but I'm calling us as a church to be there. I'm calling us to push through that God hasn't moved after two or three prayer meetings. I'm asking us to catch a heartbeat of God. So that's what I'm doing. I'm not preaching or teaching this morning. I'm almost talking to you directly, heart to heart, as a church, as a family. And I'm saying, will you join us on a Sunday night when we do face-to-face? And can we have a focused time of prayer where I don't know how this prayer meeting is going to go. I have no agenda. But I know this, that God wants to meet us there. God wants to connect with us. God wants to share our heart. And we might have times of silence. We might not have time where we don't feel like God is speaking to us in prayer meetings. But we push through and we continue and we continue and we say, God, we're here. We don't have much. In fact, we have nothing without you. But God, we're here. Will you work through us? Nehemiah eventually went back and God blessed him with favor. You know, the authorities of the day even blessed him with financial favor because he first caught the heart of God and he connected with God and God softened his heart. And God released the funds. God released the financial blessing so that he could go and do everything he needed to do. And you know what? God has every resource that we need at Coastlands to do whatever he asks us to do. But he wants us to catch his heart. He wants us to capture what he's saying for Colcut, Gibbonstown, all the surrounding areas that God has called us to minister to, wherever. Are we willing today to accept the call? Are we willing today to come near to him? Before I lead us in, and I'm not going to lead you, I'm certainly not a worship leader, but before we have a time of worship at the end, I want to maybe give you this to bring to face-to-face tonight. You know, we really encourage everyone to come. Is that Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, he says, ask, knock, seek. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be answered. I get it like this, is that God, when you pray, there's kind of three stages that you can enter into. The first tends to be an asking stage. It's a very much, well, we're here, let's ask. Let's ask God, Lord, you know, soften our hearts. Lord, move in our land. We've prayed these things countless times. But if you push through asking and you push through, you enter into a place of seeking. You go from praying and you start seeking. Your heart starts to get set on what you're asking for. And I've pushed through in prayer like this at home. And I've found myself, you know, I'm going to pray for half an hour. But I found myself praying for a time has just gone out the window because I've entered into a place where I'm seeking God. I'm actually wanting, really wanting what I'm asking for now. God is starting to soften my heart. And I found myself on the third stage where you're knocking on heaven's door. You're knocking on God's door. You're starting to weep. You're starting to cry because all along in that stage where you're seeking God, ask, seek, knock. And he says it will be given to you. There's a story of a woman in the Bible. She was called the persistent widow. And the Bible says, as Jesus uses as an analogy to encourage us to not give up when we pray for things, especially for things after God's heart. And he said, there's a woman, she begged and nagged day and night for the judge to give her justice. And she was a pain. He wanted her to go away, but because she was persistent, she kept nagging this judge for justice. In the end, he gave her what she wanted. And he said, if an earthly judge will do that for a persistent person, how much more will God give us the things that we ask for? How much more will God give us the Holy Spirit if we ask him? And God wants to bless us as a church. God wants to give us good gifts, because God's a good father. And he wants to give us the Holy Spirit to do everything that we're called to do. But he wants us to have our hearts softened. He wants us to catch his heart. He wants us to be like in that vision, those farmers, where we're able to be like, oh, God, whatever it takes, wherever you want, wherever you need, change my life for the sake of the world. There's a song that we're going to listen to, burn like a fire in me for the sake of the world. You know, we're willing to lay our lives to this cause. And some might not be there. I know times I haven't been. But let me just encourage you just to come along to face and just let God be God and let's seek him together. Let's pray. Father, we come to you as a church, whether there's visitors or whether we're just regulars, Lord, we just come to you as a people this morning, and we want to hear your call, and we want to catch your heart, and we ask, Father, because you're so gracious and you love to give us good gifts, we want to pray in line with your heart this morning and ask you, oh God, to give us your heartbeat, to soften our hearts, to open our eyes, to draw us, to give us a persistence and a desperation to see you move so that we become a church on fire, so that we become a church like a city on a hill that this lost and needy world can see, that they can see like a lighthouse that's shining bright when there's a storm in their life at sea, where they can see that there's hope, where they can see that your message is the only truth and the only solution to this crisis and this pain called sin that we entered into our lives. And Lord, we just ask, would you like Nehemiah, give us your heart? And would you, God, draw us to a place where we're hungry and desperate, where we push through the asking to the seeking, and from the seeking to the knocking? And we just pray, Father, for as many, if not all, for us to come and seek you as we pray as a church for this next chapter and season of our lives. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to say that we're going to have two songs to finish. The first song, I really want us to stand, and I want us to make it a prayer. If you can pray it as a song, but also a prayer from the heart to God. And in the second song, We're going to be taking communion, and I'd like us to use communion as an opportunity to take a step over a line today and say, God, yes, I want to come near to you. I want this season in my life to be a season where I seek you, not your hands, what you can give me, but I want to seek you as a person. I want to connect with you. I want to get back to what it's all about, and that's the cross. So if we could have that worship song, and then we can take communion. And just make it a prayer. Please, if you can come tonight, then 6 o'clock, we'd love to pray together and respond to the message. Amen. This passion in my heart.
stirring in my soul to see the nations bow for all the world to know. I'm living for your glory on the earth. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. This passion in my heart, this stirring in my soul, to see the nations bow for all the world to know. I'm living for your glory on the earth. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. For everybody to bow down, for every heart to believe, for every voice to cry out, burn like a fire in me. For every tongue to confess, sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me.
As we continue to respond to God, to the call of the Holy Spirit upon us, to find that fire, that passion for God, for the lost, we remember that Jesus came. He came for the lost. He came because he loved us. He came because he was consumed with passion for the lost, for us at that time, for us as we were lost in this world. And we found him. He found us. Changed our lives forever. So let's take this wine and this bread and remembrance of what he has done. But can we continue to thank him for his love and say, God, would you put that kind of love, your love, to our hearts. We need God to do it. need God to fan the flames. We need God to warm our hearts. You know, where we have gone cold and hard, we just need God to come. Take our hearts. Connect them with His. So come on, let's take this bread and drink this wine in remembrance of what He's done. If you are visiting us and you love the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to come and take this with us. And you know what? If you are here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you never asked Him to come into your life, you've never realized how much He loves us, how much He loves you. Maybe you think, well, for God can love me like that, that He can die on a cross for me, that He can come into this world from heaven and find me. Then that's the kind of God that I want to serve. That's the kind of God that I want to put my life into the hands of. And if you're in that place, just come while where everybody's taking this wine and this bread. Maybe just come and have a word with me. We'll just pray together and ask Jesus to come into your life. So when you're ready, just come and take this bread, drink this wine.
The more I find you, the more I find you.
It's more than I can stand. To sit at your feet, drink from the cup in the eyes, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can say.
So if you need any prayer at all, there will be a small team to pray with you here on my left. There's a cup of coffee and tea waiting for us, I hope, in the coffee shop. Just again, maybe we can just respond to that call to be a face-to-face this evening at 6 o'clock to seek God. Seek his face. So thank you, Phil, for bringing that message. Thank you so much, Tim, for being with us today and leading us in worship. It's really appreciated.
Good to be here.
And may God bless you all. In Jesus' name.